Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
Father, you are the heart healer, and you're the world corrector, and you are the people chaser. And God, you have done everything to rescue, redeem, and recover the world. We pray, Father God, for not just our own hearts, but for the hearts of those who will listen to these messages, that God, that they will be filled with the light of wisdom. We ask that, Lord God, that not only would the words penetrate our own hearing and understanding, but God, they would penetrate the hearing and the understanding of the listeners. We ask Jesus' name that you would be glorified and the listener, including ourselves, would be edified. And transformation, not just mere behavior modification, be the end result. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and orchestrate our time together today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I want to give a little behind the curtains right now. We don't usually do this, but we took a couple weeks off, and you guys won't know that because we do this weekly. But I just wanted to say, welcome back, Laura and Kevin. It's so good to see you guys. I missed you guys a lot. And I'm looking forward to our topic. And so I want to have Kevin go ahead and introduce our topic for today. So take it away, Kevin.
Thank you, Joseph. It's also good to see you back. It's good to be back with the team today. It's always a blessing and, you know, inspiring. And so to hear from you guys and to have you interact and bring out subjects that are benefiting people. So, you know, what I was thinking a couple weeks ago was the state of masculinity or maleness and husband leadership in our world today, and how it's been changed and in a lot of cases diminished and so on. We're in an epidemic. You know, one of the military adages in any military school or bastion around the world is, if you can take out leadership, everybody else gets confused. That's one of the things that our own revolutionaries did back in the Revolutionary War. The British were stunned and shocked that we would kill their officers because it wasn't the rules of war. You know, we had to be gentlemen when we were killing people. I mean, go figure. And so, but we would knock them off with our sharp, precise rifles instead of the ones that they shot, which were the Betsies, which bought the musket ball could go in any direction almost. And so the state of our husband leadership is just, we see a spectrum, right? We see a spectrum, and it can change historically down through the times. When I was a little boy, the males were too brutish. We were too cowboyish. We were too the grandfathers and so on were too stern, and we didn't say we loved each other. And then we find it even different today. So it can go through cultural changes, and not only in our Western environs, but also throughout the world. And so we see a spectrum of men being too brutish, militant, and too narcissistic that everybody has to serve them or else, to being too wishy-washy, to being almost female in nature, to being kind of a unisex. Sometimes I have patients and, excuse me, are you a guy or are you a girl? I mean, it's like I want to slap them sometimes, and I'm not trying to be militant or mean. That's just me inside, and I don't obviously smack them, and I don't smack them even verbally when I'm counseling them. It's like, but I want to shock them into reality. We also see men almost being women subjugators, which is entirely anti-biblical and anti-God, to the spectrum of even trying to be female. There's a lot of men trying to be female, defying medical sciences and biological sciences and so on. So the state of masculinity or maleness is in total shambles. Of course, there are men who are doing it right, but the world continues to be full of misinformation, sheer ignorance, an extreme lack of biblical standards and an ever-shifting definition of masculinity based upon social, cultural whims and liberal thinking. So today, we're going to look at some biblical standards of a godly male role model, and specifically male leadership in the family.
Absolutely. I've been in a men's mentoring ministry for men and boys for 30 years. And what we see in our culture stands in contrast to what I've been a part of. And, you know, we have terms like toxic masculinity. We have groups that are set up to fight men, and our culture has played a big role in shaping the hearts and the minds of people towards anti-masculinity rhetoric and education. So we're starting to see, now that we're well into decades of this, we're starting to see the results. And even our worldly culture is taking notice of it, because they're seeing the problems. There's a huge rise in broken families. There's a huge rise in, I want to say, social unrest. And I think it comes from not having good, solid, masculine, godly role models. You know, everybody's out there trying to do everything they can based on how they feel, based on maybe what their desires are. And if you're to stand up to them and say, no, that is wrong, you're viewed as being somebody who is uncaring, or you're being pitted as a bully. You know, telling somebody that they're wrong is not a bad thing, you know, as long as there is proper discourse to be able to explain why it's wrong and all that. But we've had a culture of, if it feels good, do it. And who are you to judge? And so a lot of times from a biblical and perspective, because we have different perspectives, you know, we have a worldly perspective, you know, so we have a worldview lens of the Bible, and we have a biblical lens of the world. And so whichever side of the lens you're standing on, you're going to have a different viewpoint. And so from a biblical lens, God created men to be that showstopper to stop evil. He created men to be to stand in the doorway to protect the family. He created men to stand up to what is wrong, and we've lost that. We haven't lost it entirely, but our culture has lost that. And it has started to seep into the church. It started to seep into the Christian family. And we're seeing the same results. We're seeing 50% of marriages ending in divorce in the church, because it's emulating what our society, our culture is doing. And so we have to help both men and women understand what true godly masculinity looks like, and to be able to teach our sons and daughters what that is too.
Well, I agree with you both that God-ordained masculinity is under attack, and that's why it's under attack, because it's God-ordained. You know, and the enemy loves to subvert whatever God has created. And that's really important for the listener to lean into. You know, we often don't understand or don't remember God's original intention. And God's original intention is very clear. It's laid out, right? Right there in Genesis. And there is a difference between males and females. As you were speaking about, Kevin, you know, we're equal in value. but we're not equal in operation. And the further we get away from biblical truth, scriptural understanding, then the further we move away and we start to believe that we can bypass natural law. Okay, we see a lot of this in our culture right now. I mean, it's been fomenting for a number of decades, but never has this world seen, at least that I understand, you know, not that I'm aware of, has it risen to such a degree? Or maybe it's just that in America, right, that it's come to such a degree, right, that people are confused to the degree that they will fight for the belief that men can have babies, although it's against natural law. And So we got to start this conversation from the foundation, which is where you guys always want to start it, as I do, which is we got to go back to the scriptures and to God's original intention for male and female.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. In the beginning, God created male and female. And so I really don't keep track of all the, I don't know, what are we up to, 80 different genders and gender fluidity. And so it's just confusion. But again, the reason I use the Revolutionary War concept was if you can take out the leadership, if you can take out the soundness, if you can take out the correct directional dynamics and so on, then everybody is left to their chaos, their mental insanity. And yes, you're right, Laura, it defies medical sciences, biological sciences. And so when we have a reality, we think we have a reality that defies or whatever this medical factual stuff, then it's complete insanity. You know, no, that's not blue, that's yellow. And if you don't think it's yellow, then you're a bully and you're not right and you're intolerant and you're irresponsible. Ooh, society should be against you. Well, no, if a good light spectrum shows that it's yellow, then it's yellow. And so, but we don't want to have any standards anymore, do we? God has created us male and female. And we've touched upon this and some other podcasts, I think, and earlier on, but I think there's a proper place for husband leadership, and again we see a wide spectrum. But one of the principles we wanted to bring out today is that servant the husband's role should be servant leadership, not to browbeat, not to subjugate, not to his opinion to always rule the day or to be the only opinion and the correct opinion. And to be some sort of drill sergeant, none of that is biblically acceptable. Nor is the other extreme of being so wishy-washy, unisex, people pleasing their wives that they don't stand up for any ethical soundness. Now, pleasing your wife is entirely correct if she is completely responsible, but there are a lot of wives who are not. But guys are still being lily-livered, pardon my French, and they're not standing up for what God wants them to stand up for, and because they're people-pleasing with their wife. And then if the wife is totally irresponsible, then who knows which way that relationship is going. And I am not saying all wives are irresponsible. That would be a blasphemous statement. There are, I don't have any hundreds of millions or billions of responsible good ladies. So I'm not saying that. Don't put that in my mouth. And so what I'm saying is if our wives are not standing up for godly principles, then we need to have the courage to pleasantly resist that. Now, there's a way to resist it, and there's a way that's inappropriate. And I'm not saying being demonstrative. I'm not talking about being overly angry and rageful and a drill sergeant. I'm not talking about all that. We're talking balance. But men are so weak-kneed, we need a lesson in this stuff. Joseph?
Absolutely. Well, I like that you use the word servant because and to serve because and let's be clear, it's not a servant to a master.
Right.
It's serving. It is being having a servant's attitude. Matthew 20 Mark 10 and Luke 22 have the same thing that Jesus said. And I'm going to read from Luke 22, 24 to 27. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to many." And we talk about leadership. Yeah, servant leadership. And leading is one of the hardest things that people will ever have to do, either to be led or to lead. And I've been led and I have led, but one of the hardest things is, okay, how do you get people to follow you? How do you get people to buy into what you are doing? And we, you know, Kevin talked about browbeating or being a bully, and some people can get others to do that. We've seen that in history. But how about leading people with humility, leading them with a servant's heart, standing up for what is right, but allowing people to make mistakes and allow them to correct them? So there is a way to lead, and there's a lot of it has to do with humility, because if you're coming from a humble heart and you're able to use love with grace, mercy, and forgiveness, you're gonna be able to make more headway with people than you are if it's "thus saith the Lord." And we've heard people say, "thus saith the Lord," and I'm like, great, that's for you, not for me, right? If God said that for you, great, I'm good with that. But, you know, God didn't tell me that either. So, you know, we have to use humility. We have to have a servant's heart because, you know, it's easier to get people on your side when you're using honey than you are with using vinegar. And being able to lead in those ways. And we're going to talk about different other measures too, but also what are some of the pitfalls. But Laura, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm thinking that humility is such an incredible part. And I think some men, not having a healthy, godly role model, that they've often lived with a counterfeit peace, thinking it was humility. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've all seen it's unnatural to watch a man in a household defer always to the mother, especially if it's, you know, in an unhealthy way. And so he stays silent if there's abuse or whatever, right? Because he's not taking his God-given rightful position, which is to protect and provide, right? And so I have compassion for a man that, through the trauma of his childhood, right, was told to shut up. You don't have anything to add. Go over there. You know, they don't have any sense of value. And then, you know, it's like we believe falsely that just because we become parents that we magically know how to parent, and we don't. And so, you know, I'm speaking especially, you know, to a man who you have been silent. And what we're saying is, be careful that you know that it's true humility, because it is good to sometimes be silent. But if it's a lifestyle of silence, if it's a lifestyle of being bossed around, that is not peace. You see, if we just keep quiet when bad things are happening, right, that's an illusion. If you think, well, I'm maintaining the peace of the household, because if I say something, well, then, you know, things will really go out of order. No, sometimes you have to go to war to create authentic peace. And so I want to say to the man, you know, we have great compassion for those of you that, you know, were under abusive overly authoritative parents who did not give you an identity. Because what I suspect is that when men have no sense of identity, they don't know how to take their rightful position. They don't even know what their position is. And here's the problem with that, is when a man does not take his rightful position, either A, because he's just unwilling to, or he just doesn't know how to, a woman will typically always move in and take the reins and the responsibility. But here's the problem. Because it's not God's natural order, there will be resentment. There will be so much resentment in that marriage because women were not designed by God to do what men do, right? Men can only do what men can do, right? God doesn't require more of them to do than what he has put into them. And women are required to do what they are called to do. And, you know, women, yes, they're the nurturers. Yes, they're the ones that deal with the day-to-day things. I get it. I was widowed at, you know, 34 years old. And sometimes you have to become, you know, quote unquote, the dad and the mom. But that's not natural, right? And when a wife is in a marriage with a man and she's acting as both the mom and the dad, well, the dad often just fades into the background, which means he loses even more of his identity and more of a sense of, you know, what he's been called by God to do in this world. And the woman often becomes more and more resentful, more and more distance in the relationship. And sadly, the children, you know, the cycle begins again where they don't have a godly role model of what a God-ordained marriage and family should look like and could look like.
I agree with you, Laura. And what I hear you saying, you, although you didn't say it, I'm going to say it in my words, it's almost a feminizing of a spiritual role that the males in the family look at because the men in the family are not fulfilling their roles. So the women, because they love the Lord and they want the love of the Lord in their home, they take up the slackness. And then, but over the course of decades and hundreds of years, that can change the environs of spirituality to a more of a feminist kind of thing, not in the classic feminist definition in America, but like a feminizing. And then the males who are growing up, the little boys who are growing up are seeing the ladies pray all the time before the meals and before the Christmas parties and before the family gatherings and the birthday parties. Then they become a little bit more comfortable with that. And then it just continues, like you're saying, that cycle. And so it's not growing that leadership. You know, one of the things I did, and I don't do everything correctly, but I had my son pray for our meals since he was 4 years old. And so I don't do it every time. Of course, I want to pray. And I invite my daughter and my wife to pray because just the insight that they have from a feminine standpoint is incredible, and it blesses our family when they have the opportunity to pray. But I wanted to make sure that my son was taking that leadership role instead of seeing his grandmother or his aunt or my wife pray all the time. That would be a feminizing sort of a diminishing the maleness, if you will, that leadership role. And then Joseph, I don't know if you want to go in there. I want to make another point, but we have some time. Do you want to say anything about the point that I just made? And look, I love the what God has done in ladies. You know, the creative order with ladies. He created his best specimen, if you will, last. The ladies were created last, and I spend probably 80% of my career time defending ladies in their roles and all that because it's so upside down. And so I'm not against the ladies praying, but sometimes the ladies have to be more brave than men spiritually, and that's a travesty.
Yeah, and I've seen, too, where even the push to have women become sort of the head of the household in our society has done a disservice to both the men and the women. Because what that ends up doing is it places on the shoulders a weight of responsibility that was that God never designed the women to do. And so if you have ladies who are having to carry that load, there's going to be resentment. There's going to be a sourness to what they're having to do, even though they're doing the things that needs to be done. So as men, we have to teach the younger generation what their purpose is, what are their roles, and how to do it not only effectively, but do it with humility and also with wisdom and discernment. And that doesn't naturally happen. That's a taught thing. That's something that is passed on from one generation to the next. And so what our society has done is tried to separate. And I've said this before, if Satan can remove the man from the household, he can take and devour the family. He can destroy society. And Kevin, you did mention a scripture early on, and I want to read it. It's Proverbs 11:14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. And let's talk about a little bit many advisors. You know, having we're not a one man show. You know, I need Kevin. I also need Laura. I need my wife. I need my parents. I need the church. I need people to speak into my life so that I'm, you know, I have many advisors, but ultimately the responsibility for my family, it weighs solely on my shoulders, right? I'm not going to place that responsibility on my wife, that she wasn't designed for that. And I'm going to teach my children to do the same. So we have to, not only with humility, but wisdom and discernment, we have to be able to make decisions. We have to stand up for what is right. We have to stand against what's wrong. And if we don't have a good biblical foundation, we're on sinking sand. The sand's always shifting. If you look over the last 30 years, you'll see a shift in our society. You know, being that we're, you know, in our middle age, as people, we can look back and see the changes. If you're in your 20s, if you're in your teens, everything that you're looking at is immediate. You have no point of reference. You are in your point of reference. But from our perspective, from the way we've seen this world change, we can see the problems that put us in where we are today.
Yeah, amen. It goes back to, as I said earlier, I believe it's that men, and not just men, women too, but we're focusing on men today, that men have never understood the original intention of God. And I think that so many men, that's why they lean into the world, because they don't understand that if they would lean into the word, if they would understand God's original intention was for man to represent God in the world, to have dominion and authority in the world, not over people, but over creation for God, to manage the earth for God. I think that there really is something in the heart of men. They want to fight dragons. I think there's really something in the heart of men that they want to battle giants. And in our culture, the only way you can really do that is through a video game, right? And so I think men have lost something primal in them, right? Something very deep within them that they want to. And so what they do, I believe, understandably so, but wrongly so, that they begin to try to dominate people. They begin to focus all of their energy in their physical being, right? Not knowing what to do with the strength that God has given them. And so, you know, gentlemen, you know, one of my monikers as a coach is that I'm always saying to people that I look at things spiritually, emotionally, physically, and relationally. And so I just want to say to the listener, spiritually, you need to understand God's intention. And yes, get into the Word of God. Get into some men's group that are really going to dig down. You know, there's some really good books out there that are getting back to God's original blueprint, because God created all men with a purpose, right? All men have a similar purpose, but every man has an individual assignment. You know, emotionally, I understand that not having a role model can set us up. It doesn't, but it can set us up for failure. But I'm going to tell you, when I was raising my children, gentlemen, there was no internet. I had to go and research how to be a good mom. Why? Because I came from a life of chaos. And I knew that I didn't want to replicate. So I knew what not to do. But knowing what not to do is not sufficient, listener. It's you got to learn what to do. And so I researched and researched and researched. And boy, did that really pay off. So I just want to say to the man leaning into this conversation, you have an emotional responsibility to you. And you need to do the research. You get to do the research so that you can claim your rightful inheritance. I would say physically, do some research that has come out that there are so many chemicals and substances in our systems, you know, the water, the plastics, the microplastics, that it is affecting the testosterone of men. It's actually in some way demasculizing them. But, you know, there's a saying, guys, the soy boys. But, you know, that's not so far off. You know, the soy boys, and I don't use that the way somebody else might use it, but it means the snowflakes, right? The guys that are more like girls. But, you know, there's some truth to that because a proper diet, a God-ordained diet, creates hormones. Like, you know, guys, I'm sure you know, but the listener may not know. If you don't have cholesterol, you cannot create sex hormones. So people that go vegetarian and vegan, well, they actually cannot create sex hormones. And they become, you know, they become the soy drinkers. And, you know, this creates estrogen and it's a problem. And so physically, I would say to a man, research what builds testosterone, research what, tears down testosterone, right? Because again, we're looking at where you're at from a spiritual and emotional and a physical, but also a relational place. And here's what I've observed, gentlemen. I've observed that men have begun to act more like ladies in this way. I loved it then, and I still love it when a man meets another man and shakes his hand. And especially if he not only shakes his hand, but he puts his hands on his shoulder. There's something so masculine about that. I see it so rarely. So I'm going to say to the man, begin to practice masculine things. You know, doing anything for the first time is hard. But once you begin to do it, I promise you, you're going to begin to gain back something that rightfully belongs to you. See, women don't go around shaking hands, putting her hands on men's shoulders. Men do that. It's a male thing. And, you know, just like men used to tip their hats at women, and that's nobody wears hats anymore. So I understand that nobody's, you know, tipping their hat at me. Okay. But see, there's these things in our culture that have moved further and further away as all people become more and more isolated. So I'm going to say to the listener, make a phone call to a guy that's lost his job, lost his marriage. Don't leave that for your wife to do. You do it. You reach out to another male. These are male attributes that create a sense of pride in a man that he has comforted another man. And doing something as simple as a handshake. Now, what Kevin and Joseph and sometimes I are talking about is the stuff that's way underneath that stuff. Those things, are, you know, shaking somebody's hand is not going to make you a man per se. It's all of it together. It's you practicing your way as you do the inner work of what Kevin and Joseph specifically are saying to the men.
Join us next week as we continue with Biblical Leadership. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.